get on a platform and stand on the corner and preach. Now, if you want to do that, go ahead, fine. But God is saying that wherever you go in life, God will make an opportunity for you. You're not going to make the opportunity. God will make an opportunity for you to declare, to preach, to declare the good news to all creation. Why? Because it is not our desire that all creation be saved. It is not. If it was left up to us, we would say, all right, you're going to burn in hell right now. Go, right. We would open the trap doors. We would send them off. We would ship them by the busload to a place called hell. If it was left up to us, yes, we would. Don't look at me like you would send everybody to heaven. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. But it's only the love of God that wants creation to be saved, all of mankind. And so God loves an individual more than you and I could ever love them. And so God doesn't want them to be shipped off by the busloads to hell. God wants them to come to that place that He has prepared for them in heaven. And so God commands us. That's why He doesn't leave it up to us to say, do you think you would like to go and tell someone about me? You know, God doesn't leave it up to us. God tells us to go. It's a command, look, but it's a command in love. It's a command that, look, there's new life. You know who I am and what I've done for you. You know what I can do. You know the love and the peace that I have for you and for those. Go with that love. Go with that good news. You don't have sad news. You don't have bad news. You know, people say, oh, yeah, it's gloom and doom. You've got good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if you believe on the Son of God, you will be saved and you will have everlasting life in a place called heaven. And so we see Jesus commands us to listen, to take heed to the word of God, that we are His witnesses and we are to go tell someone. That's what that means. Go tell someone. People think that means that, oh, you got to be shipped off to the deepest part of the wooded areas like Africa or jungles or with snakes and elephants and gorillas and all this stuff. No, that's not what it means. It means that you go into the life around you, into your workplace, into the family, in your very own family, and tell someone, look for that opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. Go ye into all creation. Now, some will be called to go travel somewhere. But most of us are not. Most of us are called to live the life that you're living, to do the work that you're doing with the giftings and the talents that God has given you. And so He says, go into all the world. Go into the world around you and preach the good news to all creation. No matter how much you might hate someone, no matter how much you might want to see someone burn in hell, God is saying, get rid of that attitude and pray for them. Pray that someday that they would be saved. And if you can't open your mouth to them, pray that God will send someone to open their mouth. But you know, God does things the way we don't expect. The ones we least want to go to, those are the ones God will send us to sometimes and say. And so God wants us, God's love wants us to get out into the world. And then Jesus, again in John chapter 20, Jesus said, peace be with you. Don't get nervous and anxious and upset and say, now I'm a Christian now, what I got to go tell everybody, I can't talk to people. Jesus said, peace. Calm down. Take it easy. Take a deep breath. Inhale. Exhale. All right. That's it. Okay. All right. He said, peace be with you. He says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. People get nervous and all anxious and uptight. How can I witness? How can I be witness? God said, calm down. Take it easy. All right. It's not a hard thing. Don't worry. Don't worry. He said, my peace. And God gives us peace that passeth all understanding, that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. All right? So we got to learn that, okay, I'll calm down. I'll take it easy. The Lord is with me. His peace is here. And He said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you to teach and to bring the word of God. Why did Jesus come? Well, the Father sent him to bring good news to you and me. How many of you have received good news when you heard the gospel of Christ? All right? Was it good news? Right? Yes, it was. And that's why I received it. You know, I knew it. But God sent Jesus, and as the Father sent him, God is sending you and I. And I want you to listen to these statistics. And these are things that have been basically the same throughout the years. The statistics have not changed over the years. And what they say is that, how do people come to Christ? And they say that only 2%, and 2% might be small in looking at it here, but when you think of 6.5 billion people, 2% is a lot of people. Alright? It's still a small number, but it's still a lot of people. You're talking about souls here. We're not talking about bananas or something like that. We're talking about people, souls. 2% through tracts or literature. You know, there's very few people when you hand out tracts. I remember in my early days, there was this one guy, he would buy tracts by the box load. And I mean, he loved the Lord, and he would hand out tracts to everybody he seen. And only 2% of all those tracts will ever get read. And thank God for the ones that do get read. But people are not interested so much in getting handed a piece of paper and say, here, read this, read this. Some will just toss it away or look at it and just leave it on the side. Oh, let the pastor save everybody. Okay, the pastor is going to save the world. No, it doesn't work that way. Jesus didn't save, I mean, he saved the world, you understand. But Jesus himself went around empowering the disciples to get out and preach. But only 6% come through the pastor. And usually that 6% is through a church service. All right? But a church service is not the place for people really to get saved. You know, we got a mindset that if the person's got to be saved, they got to come to church and get saved through the pastor, through an altar call. Well, that's a good way to for it to happen, but that is not the way Jesus wants it to happen. All right? This is the church is a good place. 6% through evangelistic events. Billy Graham Crusades. Many people got saved. I saw him last night from 1957. I'll talk more about that later. But through evangelistic events, powerful speakers coming into the neighborhood, and all the churches work together to bring people out. But in the whole, 6%, only 6% get saved in evangelistic. Now you say, oh man, a lot of people came and gave their hearts to the Lord. But only 6% on the whole gave their hearts to the Lord. You can bring someone to an evangelistic event, and that's a good place to bring them, just as it is a good place to bring them to church. And some will get saved. Absolutely, we pray. We pray. All our prayer is that souls get saved here, right? But they got to come. Someone's got to bring them, all right? And so I just can't stand out there with a lasso, and when somebody goes by, just lasso them and yank them in, right? That's not how you get someone saved. Grab somebody, lasso them in, and keep them inside here until they give their hearts to the Lord. That's not how it works, is it? Otherwise, everybody would be, you know, with the canes and everything, yanking them in as they walk by, you know. We get Annie out there, you know. But that's not how it works. 86% of people who give their hearts to the Lord come through family and friend relationships. When you are a witness to Christ in your family and in your friends, your workplace, your school, the people around you in your life who are your friends, or in that circle, your family and friends, 86%, that's awesome, compared to an evangelistic event, compared to the pastor or church, or compared through tracts or literature, 86%. This has been a statistic that has been steadfast ever since I can remember. 86% come through family and friends. That means you inviting someone that you know to church and to talk to them about Jesus. 86, that's awesome. 86%. Why is it important for you to invite someone, to talk to someone about the Lord? Because they'll listen to you. Some may not, but the majority will listen. And they may not say yes the first time, but they will eventually. 86% of your family and your friends will eventually give their hearts to the Lord. The greatest way you could be a witness is to the people in your immediate life. All you got to do is just look around the circle of people around you and not be afraid or ashamed, and we're going to see how that goes on. And also, I want to just add this in these statistics, keep that up on, that when children are young, usually between 4 and 14, they say, is when 85% of children between the ages of 4 and 14 give their hearts to the Lord. The ages of 4 and 14, do you know anyone in your family aged within the ages of 4 and 14? Don't raise your hand, but do you have in your family grandchildren, sons or daughters or grandchildren or great-grandchildren that are between the ages of 4 and 14? They're at that most sensitive age where they are quick to give their hearts to the Lord. These are statistics. 85%. So that is a ripe age. So if you know children in your family that are between those ages, talk to them about the Lord. Don't think that they're too young. That's a ripe age where they give their hearts to the Lord. And those who give their hearts to the Lord in that age usually continue to serve and walk with the Lord the remainder of their life. So keep that in mind as you look over your family, especially at the holidays coming up, Thanksgiving and Christmas. There are those youngsters who are 4 or 14. Don't go by how they look or how they dress or how they talk. They're right to hear about the gospel of Christ, all right? Because once they get between the ages of 15 and 30, the number drops drastically to 10%. So between 4 and 14 is 85% would give their hearts to the Lord. 10%, once they reach the age of 15 to 30, then the numbers drop to 10%. Because if they haven't heard between 4 and 14, they're getting indoctrinated by the world and by the school and by their friends. And by the time they reach 15, if they haven't been taught or heard the gospel, they've been heard and fed everything else, and that sets a foundation for their life that's very hard to overcome. And after the age of from 15 to 30, 10% will give their hearts to the Lord, which is still a great amount of people. Don't think it's like, well, if they're 15 to 30, I shouldn't waste my time. Your time is never wasted when you share the gospel. And 10% is a lot of people. But I'm just trying to get you to understand the age brackets. And then when you go over 30, over the age of 30, it's 4% of people who give their hearts to the Lord. Because they harden their hearts. Life hardens a person's heart against the Lord. And society, the fabric of society, of this whole world, preaches everything against the gospel. And so by the age of 30, if they haven't been presented the gospel of Christ, then, it's still possible. It's still possible, but a percentage goes down. And so keep those things in mind as you look over the holidays. You see those young ones, talk to them about the Lord. Give them a story from the gospel or from the Old Testament. Talk to them. Engage them. Many of them, if they get beyond those years and have never heard, it's going to be harder to say, well, why didn't you tell me when I was younger? I never heard that growing up. Thank God, if you've heard the gospel growing up, you're blessed. Thank God. And so we need to be able to reach out for them. Jesus goes on to say in the next slide here in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says that he came and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. The Lord has power over everything in heaven and over everything on earth. He's Lord. He's Lord. He is Lord. There is no one greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is not greater than the Lord. Nothing on the face of this earth is greater than the Lord. The power of God is able to do more than you could ask or imagine. Now, we can imagine a lot, can't we? We can ask a lot, but the Lord can do more than we can ask or imagine, and when it comes to souls, too, especially when it comes to someone getting saved. Oh, that person can never get saved. I've said that. Yeah, Pastor Al has said that about going back to some people. That person is never going to get saved. Bang, here they are. They get saved, and they're pastors. Go figure. The ones that you think can never do it, God changes their lives around, and bang, boom, they're on fire for God, and as much as they were zealous for the things of the world, now they're zealous even more for the things of God, and they go out and they turn the world around because they know, you know? And so the ones sometimes you think are dead, they're too far gone. Well, when they come to Jesus, they're too far gone for Jesus. And they bring that drive to the things of God. Look at Paul. Paul was a persecutor of Christians, putting them in jail, having them put to death. How many of you would have voted that Paul should go get saved? You should have said that Paul should go right to hell. He should die. Crucify him. You know, torture him. But what happened? A man called Barnabas came along and said, no. Right? God got a hold of Paul, changed his life. Look what he did for the kingdom of God. Look what God did for that man. No one is beyond the miracle working power of God. God could do more than you could ask or imagine. So don't go by what a person is doing or how they look or their appearance or their words of their mouth or whatever. If they get the Lord, if the Lord comes into their life, bang! Only the Lord knows what could happen through their lives. And so God, all authority has been given. That's why he says, therefore, go. Go. And the word is the word, you know, when you look at the Greek and all this here, go is like now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't put it off. The time is now. Now faith is. Now, today is the day of salvation. So the Bible is saying, look around your life now. Don't say, okay, let me get myself ready first. You're ready. Why are you ready? Because the Lord's in you. You don't got to go get a degree. You don't need a paper that says, okay, you're in it now. You can go tell someone about Jesus. God says if he's in your life, he has all power in heaven and earth. If he's in you, his peace is there. He's in you. You are able. Go make disciples. Make means to actually do some work. It takes work to make a disciple. You got to prepare to help them learn about the Lord. How do you make a disciple? How do you make a cake? You got to put the ingredients together. You got to have a plan. You got to have a purpose of, okay, this is what it's going to be like. He's going to be a great disciple. She's going to be a great disciple. I need to put some basics together about salvation, about... So make disciples is a process that we go through. A learning process is how you make disciples. You don't add 2 pounds of sugar, an egg, and stir it all together, and whew, here comes a disciple. It's not ingredients of the world. It's how do you make a disciple line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's a growing process that we help people along in their understanding of the Word of God. Open your home to a Bible study. Bring them in as they come to the Lord. Now, let's grow. You just can't bring someone to receive the Lord and then say, you're on your own. See you in about a month. Let me know how you're doing. It doesn't work that way. Making disciples that gave your heart to the Lord, great, that's wonderful. Now we need to get and learn a little bit about the Lord. And don't go giving them the book of Revelation the day they get saved. All right? They need to understand the love of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. They need to understand who they are in Christ. They need a foundation to grow. And as they grow in understanding, so it's making sure, say, come on, come with me to church. Let's go to Bible study. That's great. You gave your heart to the Lord. Now let's go and grow. Let's grow. We got to grow. Making disciples means growing together. Not individually. We grow together. That's why we are called the body of Christ. God wants us to grow together. How do you make disciples? Get together and grow. How do we grow? Listening to the Word of God, listening to the teaching, understanding who we are, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why baptism? Now, baptism is an outward sign that says you've made a decision to follow the Lord. You're a new creation. You took, with Christ, you died to the things of this world, and you've risen to new life in Him. How many of you have not been water baptized? If you have not been water baptized, you need to be obedient to the Lord and see me and be water baptized. Amen. That's part of the discipleship making process. So if you have not been water baptized, gone under, I'm not talking about sprinkled, okay, where you stood out in the rain and said, I'm baptized. No, I'm talking about baptized under and up. Okay? If you have not been water baptized, see me. You need to do that in obedience to the Lord. Amen? Amen. And it says, and the Holy Spirit, again, teaching them. Teaching them. It's an ongoing process. Everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always. You're not on your own as you share the gospel of Christ with someone, as you help someone to grow. You're not alone. I am with you always. And who is it in you that cares more about that person than you? The Lord. So God in you, as you make the effort, as you make that point of coming alongside of someone, God in you will see to it that that person and yourself grow. You grow as you help someone, you grow. You know that? I found that to be so true. As I pull alongside someone and help them, I grow as much or more than they do. When you give, when you put yourself in that position, God grows you, and is God's desire more than yours that to grow that person that you pulled alongside. But God needs a hookup. God wants you to come alongside of someone and say, let's grow in the Lord together with joy and with gladness. And you don't get together to look at the pastor and say, oh man, look at that funny tie he's got on today. You know, it's not coming together to grow in it's coming together to learn about the Lord, to grow together. We can have fun together. We can laugh. I love to have fun. I love to laugh. Laughter is good medicine to the soul. Amen. It is good. And it's good to have good fellowship, good laughter, good times. That is great. But the priority is that we grow together in the Lord along our times of joy and laughter and good fellowship, right? We don't get together all the time to be serious, 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 serious. We would walk around with nobody would want to live with, be around us, right? But we come together to have a good time, to have good fellowship, to get ourselves there, but to grow, to know that our underlying thing is to grow in the Lord. And so every one of us is personally called by the Lord to go and share the gospel. And the next one, hon, as we see there, as we journey through life as His witnesses, we are armed. As I said, we're in spiritual warfare, but we're armed with power. We have power. As you go through life, approaching people, facing people in this life, you're armed with power. Jesus again says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. You remember the story of David in the Bible, right? The whole army of Israel was on the other side in their trenches, and they would come out and they would shout. They would make a lot of noise because the giant Goliath was out there. They would make a lot of noise, praise the Lord, glory to God. And then they would go back in their trench and they would hide because he looked like too intimidating. I can't approach that guy. But little David, who knew the Lord, he was back there with his sheep. And he was a wolf came and a lion came, and he would sing songs. He would praise the God. He would praise the Lord. He knew who God was. God was greater than anybody and anything. He was greater than a lion. God helped David overcome the lion and overcome the bear. And David praised the Lord. And as we praise the Lord, we have to understand all authority. He is Lord. There is none greater than him. All power and authority has been given to him over all things. And David went out and faced Goliath in the power of the Lord. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of the host of Israel. Right? And what happened? David got victory because he went in the power of the Lord. So when you walk in through life and you say, oh man, I don't know if I can witness to this guy, everything is possible because the power of God has armed you. You are armed with the power of God, the Spirit of God in you, which can do more than you could ever ask or imagine. I'm not saying you go out and slay people. I'm just saying there's nothing in this life that should be intimidating to you, because the power of God in you gives you the strength and the ability to face someone, to confront anyone. But the next one goes on to say, be armed with his power.